Casey Corcoran Podcast.
All right, you chipmunks. Ready to sing your new song?
I'll say we are. Let's get this over with.
Okay, Squeaky?
Okay.
Okay, Thagador?
Okay.
Okay, Melvin? Melvin? Melvin!
Relax, old man. Jesus.
Christmas chipmunks sing each year. Squeaky rodents hurt your ears. We'll sing back till Christmas past. Hurry, Christmas pass real fast. We're a pain to listen to.
Excuse me.
You can hardly stand to hear.
Look, you guys. All right, now you know that's not how it goes, boys.
Yeah, that's how it goes now, pal.
Let's cool it with the ad-libbing and give it one more try.
I'm sorry, who's the artist here?
Yeah!
You know, you guys could all be used in shampoo testing.
What would you know about shampoo?
Nice rug!
Oh, yeah, that looks real.
I'll tell you, Melvin, I got a friend at a research lab that would pay top dollar for a gerbil like you.
Could he get me some Viagra?
You want an ear growing out of your back, pal?
You wouldn't dare. We're shaking, baby.
You want me to let the cat in here?
Bring it on!
I'll do it!
He's a puppy!
I've been wanting to do it for years, Melvin! That goes for all of you! All right, that's it! I'm gonna fire up the barbecue!
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again!
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky, you're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, November 30th, 2022, 77 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, folks? You are at jconline.com. Cold. And if you like this, you're going to be disappointed because it's going to get warm again, at least into the mid to upper 50s in a couple of days. But keep in mind, we've been talking about this for a couple of days now. Dave Murray told me last week that right around December 10th or 11th, right in there, there's going to be a massive, like, you know, one of those polar vortex things they're talking about. So much so that even in Florida, they're talking about how much the temperature is going to drop. Keep in mind, there's been a temperature differential of 25 degrees since yesterday, and this is considered cold by a lot of people, especially after you have to be outside for some reason. But I think what Dave is talking about is something much more significant than that. So just keep that in mind if you're one of those people who waits till the last minute to put up outdoor decorations or go shopping or do anything outside. A lot of people sort of like prep for the winter season, you know, like closing up a shed or covering stuff with a tarp or something like that. But just be ready, because apparently this thing must be so dramatic in terms of impending cold that they can see it from 2 weeks away, and it's going to impact apparently the entire North American continent. Speaking of continents, I have a friend who is en route right now to the Netherlands for the big soccer game on Saturday. Those poor guys from Iran are going to get off the plane. They won't even bother to take him to a remote location. They're going to torture him right in the airport terminal, and then they'll take him somewhere and kill him. I guess that's what they mean by sudden death. Watching soccer reminds me of the life I had in college a long time ago. Hardly any opportunity to score. Good morning, everybody. Nobody who's been watching these soccer games the last couple of weeks ever gets to say that baseball is boring. Knock it off. New problems for Herschel Walker. No more women step forward, at least none that I know about. It turns out that he has listed his primary residence as Texas, not Georgia. he's running for Senate in Georgia. He doesn't even live there full time. It's not his primary residence, and they caught him on it. How are we just hearing about this now? You know, he's talking about voter fraud. How about candidate fraud? But apparently, we have bigger problems in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday's Inside Edition.
Clean up your dog poop. Stop letting your dog poop on my lawn.
Pet waste is a big problem across the country, from big cities to apartment complexes.
It's a huge problem, and one of the ones that we get the biggest complaints about. Kids step in it, parents step in it, other dogs can get sick.
Signs like curb your dog and pick up after your pet are everywhere, but many dog owners blatantly ignore them.
Now there's a unique way of tracking down dog owners who refuse to pick up after their dogs. DNA. You heard right.
Here's the scoop on solving your number two problem, poo prints.
Poo prints is a DNA laboratory in Knoxville, Tennessee that specializes in
poop. We deal with dog poop.
This is like a cotton swab.
When you move into an apartment complex like this near Salt Lake City, Utah, pet owners are required to swab their dogs for DNA.
Simple cheek swab that gets DNA from that dog, and when they find the poop, they'll take a small little sample and we match it back to the poopetrator.
First-time offenders are typically slapped with a $250 fine. Get caught again, and the fine nearly doubles. To see how it works, we put on a little test. One of these three dogs left a mess behind, but which one? Gina collected a sample and sent it off to Poo Prints Laboratory for testing.
We have done our DNA analysis, and the results are in.
A few days later,
it's time for the doggy lineup. Bozzy, the adorable golden doodle. Did you do the do? Did you? Let's find out. Not guilty. How about Orion? Orion, were you a good dog? He's not talking. Let's see. Let's get right to the evidence. Not guilty. That could only mean one thing, of course.
It was Nucky the Chihuahua.
Nucky is guilty. What happened? Did you forget to pick up Nucky's poop?
They were just so little.
Any last words?
He's sorry.
Another hard-hitting Lisa Guerrero Inside Edition investigative report. And you think your job sucks? Get up every morning, take a shower, brush your teeth, stop off at Mickey D's, have yourself an egg muffin, drive into work, knowing what's waiting for you. Like I said, and you think your job sucks. And that Lisa Guerrero is something else, too. I'd never even heard of her. I think she was working in Los Angeles. And then, I don't know, this was maybe about 15, 16 years ago. She pops up in a pictorial in Playboy after she had her boob job. And when I say boob job, I'm talking about she had two garbage cans put in, all right? Two laundry sacks. I don't know how big she was before, but Jesus, each of her boobs has its own gravitational pull, and they were extremely revealing shots. It's not like it was one of these things where it's like, well, I'll just put my arm here so you don't see anything. Oh, no, no, no. She's like, hey, I paid a lot for these things. Here they are. And the next thing you know, she's on Inside Edition. Hollywood. Hollywood. All right, I'm not a huge fan of Trevor Noah, but he had a really good piece two nights ago.
Of all the things happening in the supply chain that we all just take for granted, right? We take it all for granted because a banana doesn't just show up in a grocery store. Somebody grows a tree in Costa Rica, and then it's picked, and it's loaded onto a truck, and then a ship, all right? And then another truck, and then a train, and then another truck. And that's when you buy it at the store. You put it on your counter, and you let it slowly rot before throwing it in the garbage. And that garbage is picked up by another truck. And then it's shipped back to Costa Rica. It's actually beautiful when you think about it. It's a circle of life.
He's not wrong. Now, I can't even recall how many hundreds of times something has occurred in about the last 6 years where I think to myself, well, that's it. Donald Trump has finally done the one thing that finally is going to do him in. And then you stand there the next week and you're like, he got away with it again. But I think finally I'm right about that. I think the walls are starting to close in. I think maybe what you're seeing is the beginning of the end. Here's Jimmy Kimmel the other night.
It's a very bad day for Donald Trump on the legal front. His buddy Lindsey Graham was forced to testify in the Fulton County fake election investigation. Trump right now, he's like an alien abductee getting probed from every single angle. He's also said to be extremely pissed that Republicans don't want him going to Georgia to help campaign with Herschel Walker for the runoff. They believe it could hurt Herschel Walker's chances of winning. Herschel Walker, as you know, doesn't need Donald Trump out there to make him look bad. He's doing a very good job of that himself.
The other day, I saw a commercial. Can you believe this? I saw a commercial. He's talking about me. And then I see him with a dog. He was with this dog named Alvin. That Alvin don't even belong to him. That ain't even his dog. And he's trying to fool you like he got a dog. That's not even his dog. Alvin belongs to somebody else.
All right, well, what about those kids of yours? Who do they belong to?
All right. And apparently I'm not the only person really, really impressed with James Austin Johnson on Saturday Night Live. This kid's amazing. And he was on two nights ago with Jimmy Fallon, and they were even talking about the fact that before they even did a new show with the new cast, that there was a buzz all over the NBC studios in New York where people were going, we got this new cast member, and you aren't going to believe this. And so by the time that I noticed him on Saturday Night Live doing Joe Biden, but especially doing Trump, even Jimmy Fallon, who gushes over everybody, was just gushing big time the other night.
A lot of people do it. They do the high voice, you do the thing, you know, whatever.
Yeah, there's like, you know, he's been around for a long time, so everybody has their take on him. But my proudest moment is that he called me out in a speech. I don't know if it's a proud moment to be mentioned in a Trump rally. But he was just like, you know, he has that stream of consciousness thing where he like bounces around a bunch of different topics at once. He was calling somebody in Washington a liar. And then he went, he's a liar, the liar, the liar. John Lovitz, the show's not as good anymore. It's not as good anymore. We don't watch the show, but they got a new guy doing me. I hear he's pretty good. They got a new guy doing me. It's probably pretty good. We don't know his name. We don't watch the show.
He's talking about someone who's a liar. And
I love that he loved the liar bit. You know what I mean? If he had just been like, Garth and Kat. Don't we love Garth and Kat? Remember Nick Burns? We love Nick Burns.
Oh, Nick Burns, yeah.
Nick Burns, he did computer, and he was very good with iMac and with
computer. Oh, my goodness. That's unbelievable, buddy.
SNL fan Donald Trump. Yeah.
Now, I saw you. We were in the halls getting our COVID test. Yeah. The first time I saw you, and I go, hey, you're doing great in the show, buddy. Congratulations. And we're talking quickly, 6 feet away through masks. And,
oh, yeah.
And you're like, I go, you got to come on the show because I'm a fan. You go, I'd love to. Maybe we could talk about Dylan.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know you're a fan of Bob Dylan.
I know you're a fan of Bob Dylan. I'm a fan of Bob Dylan.
I love Bob Dylan. Did you get the new book?
I've got the new book, Philosophy of Modern Song. What you really got to get is the audiobook. Because if you ever listen to him on Sirius XM, he's like, Theme Time Radio on Sirius XM. You're listening to Bob Dylan. Today's theme is flowers, hydrangeas, chrysanthemums. And like the whole audiobook for his philosophy.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone do a speaking impression of Bob Dylan.
You should listen because his voice is a little terrifying.
Is there an era of Dylan that you like doing the most?
Oh, there's too many to pick. I mean, I love the modern Rough and Rowdy Ways, the last record. So good.
It was fantastic.
But the Bob Dylan that we love is the Greenwich Village Bob Dylan.
Would you be up for showing us your Bob Dylan impressions?
Yeah, I could walk you through.
Through
some,
the decades?
We have some Dylan decades. Yeah, if you insist.
With the holidays coming up, maybe could we hear Bob Dylan singing Jingle Bells?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we could maybe start it off with that folky Greenwich Village Bob Dylan. Here, let me get this harmonica here. This will be helpful.
Okay.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
He's always giggling on these songs.
What fun it is to ride. I think Calvin Coolidge said that.
Like some professionalism, please, Bob.
But then he did. Or how about the crooner when he did the crooner kind of
the lay, lady, lay.
Oh, yeah, the
national skyline. Bob Dylan. He had a completely different voice all of a sudden.
Yes, he had.
It's like,
and jingle bells, jingle bells, I jingle all the way. Well, fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Why are you singing like that? We don't even need you to sing. You're Bob Dylan.
You have your own voice, but he created a new voice. But then he did the whole, like, Rock Band tour, the Rolling Thunder.
And he's, like, touring all over the world. He's filling arenas. He's got the Rolling Thunder Review Band. That's my favorite Dylan, because he's unintelligible. He's just screaming.
Yeah, here we go.
I can hear you, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm two towns over. I can hear you.
I can hear you. I don't even need the microphone there. But how about 90s Dylan?
90s Dylan, he had a big comeback, Time Out of Mind.
Yes.
He said, I'm never going to sell out. I'll never do an ad. And then he did a Victoria's Secret ad. And he's just singing like a Disney vulture. He's singing like he crawled out of a French crypt or something. Hmm. And the songs have this moody sexiness to them.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Yeah.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Oh my God! Come on now, James Austin Johnson, everyone, touching on a new Saturday Night Live this weekend on NBC and Peacock. We'll be right back with the voice from Ed Juliet. Stick around, everybody.
That was the two of them at the end doing dueling Bob Dylans. And it's amazing because I know that Jimmy Fallon is very, very proud of his Bob Dylan imitation. And it is very, very good. But then this James Austin Johnson shows up. And even Jimmy Fallon was like, that's it. I can't compete with that. It's like seeing Peter North in a locker room. And you're like, that's it. I'm out. But just to illustrate this even further, this is what James Austin Johnson was talking about Bob Dylan on his SiriusXM show. This is the real Bob Dylan.
The Wizard of Oz, Osborne Earl, that's his name, brought a whole new level to the game. We're talking about Ozzy. No, not that Ozzy. We're talking about the Wizard of Oz, the MVP, Osborne Earl Smith. He was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2002. In 2003... he was inducted into the St. Louis Walk of Fame.
Okay, that was the real Bob Dylan, and now here's James Austin Johnson again.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Yeah.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
You hear James Austin Johnson and even Jimmy Fallon, who is a very, very talented impressionist, even though he's not really my cup of tea these days. I'm a Colbert guy and Seth Meyers. But it's almost laughable now when you think back to somebody like Rich Little, who for a lot of years, and you know, if your grandparents, if they're over the age of 80, probably still think that Rich Little is great. And the last time I saw Rich Little, he was doing Mike Huckabee's show on Fox. Because I got to say, in terms of mimics, I don't think there was anybody as good as Frank Caliendo. And Frank, you know, he carved out a niche for himself because he came along and said, I'm going to do all the sports guys. And nobody had ever really done that before. But now this guy, and again, the name James Austin Johnson, just keep it in the back of your head because I think we're looking at somebody who's going to be around for a very, very long time. All right, looking at the calendar, it was on this date back in 1989 that the people from VH1 contacted us and said, here's what we're going to do. We got this guy who's doing a morning show on VH1. This is 1989, and his name is The Eggman. The Eggman. And The Eggman is contacting a couple of key, really, really big radio stations around the country, maybe a dozen or so, and we're inviting you to shoot video, like a 2 or 3 minute video, of anything going on in your town, in St. Louis. It could be in the studio, it could be outside of the studio. Just make us a 2 or 3 minute, really, really interesting little videotape, and we'll run it on VH1. And so we did. We went flying with Alan Barklage. Big mistake, because Alan still thinks he's in Vietnam, or still thought back then he was in Vietnam. And so he would be doing these rolls and dives, and we just thought we were going to die. And I remember we shot video, and he flew right at the arch, and then pulled up at the very, very last second. And then he was flying about a foot off the surface of the Mississippi River, going like 100 miles an hour, and then he flew under the Eads Bridge, which I know he wasn't supposed to do, but he did it anyhow. So anyhow, we chopped that up, we edited up that tape, and then we sent it to VH1, and they ran it. The Eggman was talking all over the top of it, though, so like all the jokes we were making and everything, they were obliterated. I don't think they did a lot of pre-production. I don't think they had a lot of meetings prior to the Eggman showing up. This was also day one of the big power outage back in 2006. You'll recall we had a massive ice storm and then a major temperature drop, and it was like 10 degrees outside and nobody had any power. This was day one, and for a lot of people it was day one of what went on for 6 or 7 days, or over in Metro East longer than that, and if you lived out in the hinterlands maybe even longer than that. What a nightmare that was. We did one of our first Westport Comedy Series shows back on this date in 1984. We brought in Martin Mull, and he was really funny and a really nice guy, by the way. He had his girlfriend with him. She was hot. My first book was released on this date back in the year 2000. We sold, I believe it was 13,000 copies of that book, Real Life Stories of JC and the Breakfast Club, or 20 Minutes in the Dark with Madonna. And by now, you already know the story about the title of that book being inspired by a power outage that occurred when I was interviewing Madonna for the movie Evita out in California. And we were in a basement, heavily fortified room. There were security guards all over the place. And you know, Madonna was one of the most famous people in the world back then. I mean, seriously, one of the 2 or 3 most famous people in the world. And, you know, there's a lot of crackpots out there, and they just felt like they needed all this security. And so we're sitting there in this interior room in the basement, basically, of the Lowe's Santa Monica. And they count me down, 3, 2, 1. I take a, like a deep breath to ask my first question. And the room goes pitch black. And I mean 2 a.m. black. And now, if you thought there were security guards around Madonna, now you really found out how many there were. There were big black dudes talking into their sleeve with guns drawn, because they didn't know. They didn't know if it was a kidnapping attempt. They didn't know if I was part of it. And those guys are trained in such a way that, they go into a situation like that assuming the worst possible scenario first, and then they work backwards from that. So after they determine it's not a kidnapping attempt, it's not a terrorist attack, not an assassination attempt, something like that, then they start pulling back. But I had one of those, you know, big 6'12" black dudes standing in front of me saying, please don't move, just remain seated. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere, I promise. But after a couple of minutes, then they, you know, realized, okay, this is just your general garden variety power outage. You have all these TV types running around all over the hotel. They overtaxed the electrical system, and we'll try to get this thing, try to get the power resumed. Well, that took 20 minutes, but we didn't know it was going to take 20 minutes. We just kept thinking, well, it'll be any second now, we'll come back on. Well, it didn't come back on any second, so they told us to just sit there because you have cameras all set up and lighting. And, you know, Madonna just looked absolutely radiant. You know, the baby, Lourdes, was only, I think, what, 3 months at the time? So we were talking a lot about that. We were talking about Michigan because I used to vacation up in the extreme northern tip of lower Michigan, and her dad has a place up there. And there was one house that was being built right on the water of this bay up near Wequitancing, Michigan, Harbor Springs, that whole area up there. And the rumor was that it was a house that was being built by Madonna. And she knew exactly what I was talking about. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know. I was like, really? You know what I'm talking about? She goes, yeah, I know the house. Yeah, it's a rumor. It's my dad lives. I don't want to say where she told me he lives. But I just thought it was interesting that, you know, her Michigan ties apparently were still strong enough so that a house being built, you know, up in this little resort community, and she knew all about it. She did not know. She had never been to St. Louis, and she did not know that at that time there was a radio station that actually used her in their advertising, but in a negative way. They were saying, they were trying to, you know, KZK, we're so pure as the driven snow. We never play any rap, and no Michael Jackson, and no Madonna. In other words, they're obscene, and we will never, ever play a Madonna or a Michael Jackson song. So all these fucking church people who used to listen to KZK were like, yeah, yeah, that's it. And her eyes got as big as pie plates when I was telling her this story. But, you know, there it was. It was 20 minutes in the dark with Madonna. The only light in the room was the tiny little light on the VU meter on the side of the camera, because the camera was charged, and even though the power goes out, the battery takes over. And so that's what it was. And so when I wrote the book, it's like, well, I got a snappy title here, Real Life Stories of JC and the Breakfast Club, or 20 Minutes in the Dark with Madonna. And Virginia Publishing, our good pal Jeff Pfister, I think he made some money off of the whole thing, and good for him, by the way, because he contacted me. It was one of those deals where, yeah, did I want to write a book? Sure, but I didn't think anybody would be interested. And then one day I get a call from this guy, Jeff, and he's like, how did you think about writing a book? I go, I think I should too. And so we did, and like I said, we sold about 13,000 copies, which was considered really, really good for a book that was just being released on a local level like that by a schmo like me. All of this 22 years ago today.
Well, let's face it, in the position that you're in, you must have people lining up 24 hours a day to kind of kiss your ass.
Really?
Well, no.
No.
I think it seems like that to people like me, but I guess what I'm leading up to is, how weird is it for you to be writing a 4-page letter to the director of this movie saying, you gotta let me do this?
Well, it's not really weird, because I haven't proven myself as an actress, or I hadn't up until now, and this movie was going to be an undertaking for any actress to do, not to mention how difficult it was going to be to sing the music. So I didn't think it was strange. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I did feel like I was the best person for the job, but I knew I had some convincing to do, and it didn't strike me as strange.
Which brings us to the next issue, because of the nature of this piece of work, audiences that have never bought a CD of yours, have never been to one of your concerts, probably haven't really been particularly interested in you, are now going to be watching you. For people in that position, as they watch you, what would you like them to notice about you as a performer?
Truthfully, I wouldn't like them to think of me at all. I would like them to think of Eva Perón. I would like to know that I disappeared inside of her, and that what they were watching up there was not me, but her.
Good answer.
That was sort of a shame, because the movie was basically shot down before it was ever released. Patti LuPone, who made the role of Eva Perón famous on Broadway, trashed the movie, and I just don't think audiences were ready for the whole idea. First of all, it was a musical, a topic that a lot of people know anything about, and I think a lot of people thought that Madonna should have just stayed in her lane making pop music. And like I said, before it was like me on KMOX. Before I ever did my first show, I was dead in the water. And that happens sometimes, and you live and you learn. All right, speaking of movies, Top Gun Maverick returning to theaters for 2 weeks on Friday. Joe Pesci, it is now being revealed, actually sustained serious burns while making Home Alone 2. Great. Steve Martin, Martin Short, going to co-host Saturday Night Live on December 10th. And then on the 17th, Austin Butler going to make his hosting debut. Bret Michaels touring with Night Ranger and Jefferson Starship next summer. And tonight is the 90th annual Christmas in Rockefeller Center. That is at 7 o'clock on NBC. Late Night Jimmy Fallon's got Dolly Parton, Lisa Ann Walter with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert has Janet Yellen, Beth Bayers on with James Corden, and Trevor Noah has Gabrielle Union. Birthdays today, Kaylee Cuoco looking good at 37, Chrissy Teigen 37, Ben Stiller 57, Bo Jackson. First man ever selected for both the Major League Baseball All-Star Game and the NFL Pro Bowl is 60 today. Billy Idol, 67. Mandy Patinkin is 70. We had him on the show a while back. Very, very good. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. 70 years old today. And Ridley Scott, the guy who made Alien, Gladiator, Blade Runner, Thelma and Louise, Hannibal, Black Hawk Down, Alien, Covenant, Ridley Scott, 85 today. Pink Floyd, The Wall, released on this date in 1979. That sold a few copies, as did Michael Jackson, who released Thriller on this date back in 1982. Still the best-selling album of all time. Tupac shot 5 times while being robbed worth of $40,000 worth of jewelry outside a New York City recording studio 28 years ago today. And it's really starting to feel a lot like Christmas. For example, in Chicago, Target stores are putting out milk and cookies for the shoplifters. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, November 30th, 2022 is in the can. 77 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We're here every weekday morning right about this time. Absolutely free. Please spread the word. Email me, JC at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Happy birthday, number 27, to daughter number 2, Whitney Corcoran, today. Having a birthday. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.